Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered, and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem. Oh,
that's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I have to admit, I don't follow the NBA as closely as I used to. But some of those teams Zach just mentioned don't sound like playoff teams to me. I don't know. I'm skeptical. Indiana? The Clippers? Really? Those are the playoffs?
Sure.
Where are the Bulls? Are they in the playoffs? Joe Ostrowski, are the Bulls in the playoffs? I really don't know. I'm sorry.
I think they went home.
Are they
do
out?
Do you count that stupid play-in as playoffs? I do not.
Right.
And
oh,
I was happy to see them get eliminated. I knew nothing was going to
happen. I bet
there.
These crack PR staffs count them around sports. I bet they count.
Yeah.
I bet the teams count them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. They do. Something to promote. They got home tickets for one game. Good for them. They're done.
They were in.
Hang a banner.
Hockey had the COVID year, had 24 teams make the playoffs. The Sabres were not among them. And there's a part of me that's like, you know what? This 13-year drought they're on is more resemblant of their existence than having the one random COVID-shortened 24 teams make it year that they can say, actually, Mike, we're not on a 13-year drought. We're on a 3-year drought or something like that. I don't know. That's...
That helps me sleep
at night. The reality
is... It helps me sleep at night. That did not happen.
Joe, thanks for being on. On the line, the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Joe Ostrowski. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to check out the BetQL Daily podcast for more of Joe's analysis. Just search BetQL wherever you find your podcast. By the way, as I kid here, last night in the NBA was pretty amazing. I wasn't watching any of that live, but the end of the Knicks game and then the end of the Denver game. Joe, before we get to the draft, how did last night go for you?
It was 2-2, so not much to talk about there. But on an entertainment side, it's like, oh, this may already be better than the NCAA tournament because that was pretty boring throughout. We didn't have anything about exciting moments in that tournament. Okay, we got a back-to-back title. But we didn't have as many buzzer beaters as we typically have, and I know everybody gets in on that. But, yeah, the excitement of last night, that was really cool. So we'll see what happens. Going in, we thought there was going to be a lot of close games. We'll see. After last night, all those series go up 2-0. It's just kind of strange because typically in the first round, you don't see very close point spreads. Series prices as far as which side is going to win. You don't see the lower seed actually favored, but this year you do. So maybe we get some longer series than we usually do in the first round.
All right. Let's get to the draft here, Joe.
Yeah.
So you live in a cool state where you can bet on the draft. We do not. We still do not have that privilege.
What's
in New York.
It like, Uncle Joe?
What's it like to be able to
Gamble on draft picks?
Is it? I listen to the ETR guys. We've talked about them before, Joe, like Evan Silva and Levitan. They talk about, like Evan told us last week maybe when he was on, that it's kind of harder than ever. Last year maybe was a turning point in how, whether the draft markets are still, you know, considered soft. What would you say?
I'd agree with that. That the COVID year you just talked about for draft betting, when we had no other sports, that was the big year. And the sports books, they want money to be bet on something, so they were posting everything under the sun. And after a few years of getting hammered by bettors, they got sick of it. And last year, it was a much slower rollout. I'm sure some of the sharpest bettors, it's hard for them to get money down. So what they've done is in addition to limiting bettors, it's been tougher because they've been waiting longer and longer and longer. A lot of players, the over-under on where they're going to go was not posted until very late. So it is fun. The markets have changed a whole bunch. It's one of the best betting events of the entire year, I think. Yeah. But, it's not as easy for people that know what they're doing and follow every morsel of news out there.
So pick one, Caleb Williams. Congrats, Chicago. That's a formality. -20,000. There is a number apparently that you can get to, but
we'll see, guys. I remember once upon a time you said, I'm not putting this on you because I was saying it too. Congrats. I'm like, oh, so
Fields.
How'd you know when you had a franchise quarterback and we're back? So we're back to number one and number nine. For the Bears. So I guess they're going to be a big story in the first 10 picks. But, it's hit me over the last day. I'm like, okay, now I'm uncomfortable that I've been so comfortable about Caleb Williams and kind of like laughing at it and all these other teams freaking out about which quarterback they should take.
No, yeah, you're in a pretty good spot to have that certainty. That ninth pick is interesting to some here in Bills land, Joe, because okay. That is like that's a Rome Odunze spot, and the Bills need a receiver, and the Bears only have the four picks. So, you know, I recognize that they could easily be happy to draft the best receiver there or something else, but they could also get paid pretty nicely here and move down. And, like, I don't know, what is there? There got to be a million opinions about that, just like there are here. But that's got to be kind of tempting for them to move out of there with the Bills or anybody else, maybe.
Yeah, certainly. The problem there is, let's say, if Odunze's off the board, I don't know if there's a player that a team is willing to give up future assets for.
Right.
That they couldn't get a little bit later, maybe, you know, teens or something like that. So that's a bit of an issue. I've heard if Odunze's there, that's their guy. He's gonna be their guy. Now, if he's gone, probably going defensive line, probably an edge guy. Heard all sorts of names all over the map. Some love Verse. Some like Turner. I mean, it's wild. Some of these top defenders, just the wide range of opinions that you see out there. But, yeah, maybe that's a trade-down spot. But if it is Odunze there and you add with all the weapons, what I like is for the first time that I've ever seen, they're adding a quarterback and they are putting the quarterback in a position to succeed. I like the offensive coordinator hire in Shane Waldron. And, of course, we know about DJ Moore, and then you go and you make a move for Keenan Allen. I don't know how much longer he has, but for the time being, just fine. Cole Kmet's been pretty strong. They bring in DeAndre Swift as well, so they are putting him in a big-time position to succeed. And Odunze as your third option, that's pretty darn enticing. But if it's not him, the expectation is they do go defense or they do move down. Some people want to move down even if Odunze's on the board just because they only have four selections. But defense was strong last year. Once they made that sweat move, the second half of the season, all the numbers will tell you that they were a top five defense. But Eberflus, defensive-minded coach, he might be pushing for that defensive edge.
Joe, by the way, what if it's Neighbors? Would the Bears do that if Odunze goes before Neighbors?
I was just assuming that Neighbors would be gone.
Okay.
I mean, there's some chatter. Some believe that apparently that Neighbors is above Harrison Jr. So it's – we know Caleb won. And after that, there's a long conversation to be had every other pick.
Right.
Once we get to two, everything seems to be up for grabs right now.
So Washington at 2, reporting today is that they're not trading. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels has been the favorite. It's moved back and forth a little bit. Do you like any action for that pick?
Okay, so I would not bet Jaden Daniels at the current price. He's a heavy, heavy favorite. Every time you look, the number's higher. Earlier today, I was looking, it was minus 400.
Oh, wow.
I would not make that bet.
Me neither.
But the bettors that do this, from the betting perspective, every bettor I know that gets down on the draft, they have May. They have a May ticket.
Yeah.
And they're adding because it's plus money and we don't know what's going to happen. Spoke with Connor Allen on BetQL Daily earlier today, who's really good at this, 4 for 4. And he's like making the same argument. He's like, yes, I have a position on May. I'm adding McCarthy because we don't know. And there was that rumor over the weekend. McCarthy to go number 2 overall is 11 to 1. It wouldn't shock me. We've seen crazy things happen at the top. Now, he believes that for the first time in NFL history, the first four picks are all going to be quarterbacks. So in some order, it's going to be Caleb Daniels, May, and McCarthy. But everything is up for grabs. People have been saying Daniels. The mainstream media, Schefter has been wrong about these very high picks before. So I don't think it's definitely Daniels. That I think all of this is up in the air.
Lance and Mac Jones, for example.
Sure.
All right. I guess like that's sort of your guiding light here, isn't it then, Joe? I mean, if you're betting on the uncertainty, so you're going to bet prices. You're going to just, right?
100%.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. And I remember last year draft day, I follow it to see where the market is moving, where the sharp bettors and, you know, what the groups are releasing or what people are hearing. But also, okay, so if we go back to draft day last year, there was a massive move every hour. It was Stroud. Stroud's the favorite now. Stroud, a bigger favorite, is going bigger. They were right on that. But there were also some picks where they were dead wrong. I remember the Seattle pick in particular. Was that 5th overall, I want to say?
Maybe, yep.
Yeah, and that was dead wrong. And it was a surprise that they took the corner out of Illinois. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. It depends where the information's going. Guys, in the top 10, I'm also really interested in the offensive linemen because a lot of times there are players pegged to certain locations, and it just doesn't pan out that way. And in the top 10, Tennessee at 7 has been tied to Joe Alt forever. Are they going to do that again with their new regime? Maybe, but Alt might go higher. If it is all quarterbacks in the first 4, then you could make the argument that the draft starts at 5. What does Harbaugh want to do with the Chargers? Would it surprise anybody if Harbaugh says, we need to get tougher in the trenches? This is what I did at Michigan. And it's kind of what he did at San Francisco, too, where he ends up taking the best tackle on the board instead of a receiver.
It's what I would expect.
Yeah.
And really, like, there's just so many connections to try to figure out. It becomes impossible, but you want to know what New England would take to move. There's Rappaport today broached that they haven't gotten the right offer yet. It shouldn't be too hard to figure out what the right offer is based on history and these draft value charts and everything, but New England reportedly is open to moving. So you want to know where Minnesota is going to end up. Or even the Giants. Maybe the Giants flip with Arizona, right? And then you have your 4 quarterbacks. It starts with L.A. And, yeah, but if we knew that, like you just said, if we knew mm-hmm. quarterbacks went 1-4, this might not be that hard at all.
Yeah, and, man. So, for example, I was looking at that idea. So then if Alt were to go 5, you could get him at better than 4-1 to be a top 5 pick. The other move with some people in the last 24 hours that are very good at this, as far as landing pick selection, team, and player, the all-time record since this stuff has been tracked is Josh Norris. He's terrific at it. And he did a mock last night on his YouTube show. And I was just taking a look at one of his big movers that he had. And, you know, the offensive lineman. And he also had McCarthy going 4th overall. And it was, yeah, he had Latham going top 10. He put him at number 7. So he sees a big move. him to go in the top 10 is better than 4-1. So if you're able to bet on this, I know most of your listeners are not, or if you do it illegally, whatever, I would lean in to the high variance of the NFL draft.
Okay.
Because we know one thing right now, the rest of it is all up in the air.
What is the over-under number on receivers in the first round, Joe?
It is, let me double check, but I believe it was still 6.5, which is a pretty solid number.
I like under.
Under.
I like under, yep. Oh. Because I think in the middle, you mean you have the big three that go by the top 10, right? You've got three receivers who probably go in the top 10. Then Brian Thomas is everybody's number four. Torn labrum, Brian Thomas. A.D. Mitchell, character questions, scratched from teams' lists. Then McConkey, measurables, Worthy, 160 pounds if you want it. I think the depth of the receiver class has teams in the middle who have offensive line and edge rusher needs usually will wait.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So I would go under 6 or under 6.5. It's even better.
It is 6.5. It is now heavily juiced at -300. So if you look at expected draft position with a lot of these mocks, they do have Brian Thomas going at around 21. And then where you guys are sitting, Mitchell, 28, 29, Worthy, 31. I guess the bet is also, do you think McConkey is going to end up going in the first round? And there are some people that are pretty accurate with San Francisco, I know. I know Schrager's one of those guys, and I saw in one of his recent mocks, he has them taking McConkey with their late first-round pick.
Yep.
So that's probably going to decide that bet.
He also had Jalen Polk on the Chiefs at 32, I think. Yeah, I think he had eight receivers in his first round.
Oh, wow.
The juice, the -300 is on over or under?
Under.
Okay. Well, it's not exciting.
I would probably bet the over just because it's +230.
That's it.
I would too. I could see it being quiet from Brian Thomas, maybe to the Bills, but then Baltimore, the Bills, the Niners, like you say, especially if they do something with Ayuk, although that probably takes a team out of drafting a receiver in the first round, so that will count to the total anyway. Not for the bet, but you know, for a team anyway, to you know, get their receiver need filled. I just feel like there's going to be a rush late.
Well, speaking of the Bills, okay, so they, one of the things that you could bet on or that their numbers for is team and their first draft pick. What is the position of their first draft pick? So, of course, it's receiver. Any bookmaker would say, oh, Bills, receiver. People are talking about it. But as you know, you guys have 10 picks, and there's a Puka in the fifth round. There's a Nico Collins. You can find guys. The number for wide receiver to be the Bills' first pick is -280.
Oh, I thought it'd be way worse.
Really?
Yeah. I guess maybe that's about as decided as they can get. A bet like that. -280 is one of the, do I want to say bigger or smaller? bigger numbers for that type of bet, I'm guessing, for a team?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just position?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, I would just go elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
What position would you pick?
I would pick D-line instead. That's maybe is that going to be second?
Second. D-line / edge, second favorite, plus 425.
I would have to bet that.
Right?
I have a bet with Bulldog, even money, that they're going to go defense first. We made this bet in like January or something.
Yeah. Season wasn't even over. I don't know when we made the bet.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Joe, for them? Not in terms of betting. We can just close with this. Like, is there one of these guys? We've been talking about 10 of these guys from Thomas down pretty much every day for a long time. I struggle with it because I sort of listed some potential warts. You know, I if I were the Bills, I would definitely want to trade out of the first round.
Get for this multiple twos? Or
two and a three. They don't have a third. So something like that. That's what I'd want to do.
Yeah, it's tough. So how far do you want to push it? I guess you would have to go if you stand pat at number 60 overall. And then when you get to that tier of receiver, now what are you talking about? Maybe a Keon Coleman falls to you? Before the college football season, that would excite you. But after the year that he had, not so much. So I understand why it's such a heavy favorite, even though that I would bet against it. And just the tier of receiver, the drop-off that you see, it's viewed as deep for receivers, but it's viewed as the top round and a half where many of the really good ones go. So if they can't find a dance partner, I do think they're probably going to sit there and just end up taking the best on the board, whether it's whichever Texas guy it ends up being.
Certainly an argument for it. Joe, life is good. How's your baseball team looking?
Oh, good start. Fantastic. Good start. Yeah.
What age group is it?
We're 11. I've got a Bills family. Oh, yeah. Terrific. And one of my assistants, big Bills fan, constantly traveling back for games. So
wow.
Yeah, part of the mafia.
Very good. Good luck with that. Thanks for your time today. Thanks
good
for
deal,
fitting
man.
Us in.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Reach out anytime.
All right. The host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Joe Ostrowski. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Lines are open for you, 803-0550. Lindy Ruff is back. The draft is Thursday. Come at us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Greg Wyshynski at 5. This is WGR.
I want them to love playing for each other. And I want them to love being a Buffalo Sabre for Sabre fans that I think are some of the greatest in the league. How are we going to get there? We're going to have to earn it. From day one, the work is going to have to start now. We're going to have to earn it. We're going to have to step on the ice when the season starts and earn the respect of everybody and get to that next level.
Lindy Ruff, I have no doubt at all that he means that sincerely about Sabres fans. It's been known for a long time, just the trying not to say love affair, but I have no doubt that Lindy means that. I wonder if he ever said it in Dallas or New Jersey. Right? Don't you? A little bit?
Like, sure. Yep.
Every new coach, like the fans are the greatest in the league or among the greatest in the league. I do think he means it about the Sabres, about Buffalo. I think that goes without saying.
I liked when he said, yeah, right. Well, they'll be back. He said that line almost exactly. I think that they'll be back. They'll come back. I mean, I agree. I remember sitting in here with you during the bankruptcy and, you know, before, you know, the season long lockout, and like it was some dark days. And I always thought, like, they get good again. This community loves the game, loves that team. They just want you to lead them to the water, like, and provide water that is drinkable. Like, that's it. That's all we need. So I'm with them. I mean, I think the people will respond if they get a team that warrants it. It's gonna take work.
Let's go to Dan here. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Great hire. Happy to have him back. And, you know, my only thoughts of why I don't know how he couldn't have moved in that direction. I feel like with this GM really only was going to get one more kick at the can for hiring a coach. And, you know, Lindy can get this team to the playoffs. He's going to be consistent. And I don't know how we could have started out with somebody new and had a burn year where they're learning on the job. So I just wanted to say that that seems like the safest hire, and the bar is very low to make the playoffs in the NHL, and this team should walk in. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dan. It is really set up well for him. This is, I mean, I know people will disagree with this, you know, because of the Sabres history or whatever they think of ownership, anything. But in terms of the roster, this is a great opportunity for a coach. What they've got, you know, you could do a lot worse. Even though it's 13 years, you could do a lot worse. Young talent.
This should have been a playoff team. They're talented enough to be in the playoffs. Washington is terrible. And I know, they got there. They did it.
Not by beating the Sabres when it mattered down the stretch.
Right.
Even getting a point.
Right.
Twice.
So, Carolina's a machine. Did you see any of that? Or did you read about any of the stats that dominate? Like, the Islanders are getting blown off the ice in that series. And they were ahead 3-0 in that game for like half of it. But they're just getting killed. You don't have to be that good to get in. That's the problem with that being the bar to clear. And maybe some people will have a problem with that. I said earlier, like, what is a success for this, like, first time around? Like, Ruff shows up. What's next year going to be deemed a success by doing what? Get to the playoffs. And that's not even that. I'm with the call. It's not that high a bar in that league. It's incredible that it's been 13 years. I really believe with the goaltending they had this year and the talent that was on the roster, I don't know how dramatic changes will be to the roster here moving forward, but they should have been a playoff team. They're every bit as good as teams that are in the playoffs, talent wise. They just didn't come together.
Ruff has 57 playoff wins, not all with the Sabres, but of course their last playoffs, he was the coach. His first was in April of 98 at Philadelphia. Michael Groshek, who would score the goal to win that series in overtime in Philly, also scored the first goal of the series in what would be Ruff's first playoff game and win as a head coach, April of 98. It's a while ago. Carried the one. That's 26 years ago and a day.
Yeah. That was his first year on the job, 97-98. Sabres won the division under Nolan, 96-97. There was a controversial decision to not extend a long-term contract to Nolan. Ruff replaced him, and they had two great years right out of the box.
Ruff's last game as the Sabres coach was February 17th, 2013. It was a Sunday afternoon game at home against the Penguins. I was at it. And they lost 4-3 on a late goal. He was fired the next day. That was his birthday, by the way. The Penguins game was his 53rd birthday, I believe. He was fired the next day in the afternoon, and the Sabres replaced him with Ron Ralston, who, even that seems like a long time ago, who took over, you know, they lost to Winnipeg two nights later or something. The day after he took over the
and
job.
Then by November of the following season, Ralston was out, right? Because it's November of 13 Nolan and LaFontaine came off the top rope.
Yes. Wow. A lot has happened. Matt is next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how we doing? I'm wondering what wide receiver in this draft you think complements Curtis Samuel the best. I think there's a lot of belief in him, and I think that this offense is going to revolve around him in some sense. Is there a receiver you see in this draft that maybe Joe Brady would think would complement him the best?
I love that you asked this question, and I think it is the right question for trying to predict what they do. And so, like, let's talk about this. Thank you, Matt. I think this is where I'm standing anyway as we're 2 days out. I think Brady is like the key man. If they're going to draft a wide receiver with their first pick, as most expect, who is the guy that you might think, well, the caller put it excellently, meshes with Samuel, meshes with Brady, right? Who would it be? I have been thinking a lot, and you and I had one conversation about this last week. We were talking about Diggs, how when Brady took over the offense, Diggs' numbers just almost immediately plummeted. And I think when you look up his Carolina year, you see that kind of year with DJ Moore, where it's like they didn't even really act like they had a wide receiver one, right? The Bills played out the season not treating at all Stephon Diggs like a wide receiver one. Say what you want about that. You can blame him if you want. But I think it's right to see some of this as Brady's design. And so that is just another point that gets me off of Mitchell and Thomas. It probably would get me off the big trade up too, but I was already way away from that because of like Bean and draft capital. I don't want to do any of that. So who is it? Maybe I would pick McConkey for this question. Somebody that will catch the ball, will get open, and is not like the 6'3". He's not the Mitchell body type, you know, which is not a bad body type. I mean, even Awaken 180 would admit that's a good body
type.
He's
kind of a duplicate of the guys they already have, is what McConkey is to me. Like Shakir and Samuel are pretty similar skill set and body type.
So you have to decide, you have to guess, like in Brady's head, is that good or bad?
Right. Right. Exactly. And I happen to think that all the talk, and it you know, I haven't heard Joe Brady talk about it, but I certainly have heard Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott talk about it, and we have heard hundreds, if not thousands, of fans talk about it, either to us on our shows or just on social media. And like, I think the people that like the McConkey idea are sort of buying this, not quite positionless football, but like, just give me guys that can make plays, that are going to get open with the ball in their hand, and don't worry about having an X, a number one. Like, if everybody's interchangeable, that's fine. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not buying that, I guess. So, despite it being said, even by the GM of the team, to me that sounds like a team that's setting up to go find the guy they don't have. So I'm still, despite all that, like I think everything that Mike just said has merit, and it very well could be right. But I think they are looking for 6'2 and speed, or like 6'2 and up. Like anybody, like, and there are guys, Thomas is that, A.D. Mitchell is that.
Worthy
is that. No, Worthy's not that big. He's smaller and slight. So, but
I thought he was taller.
Worthy's 6'1 and 170 or something. He's tiny.
What did you say?
I said they'll go for the Thomas or Mitchell, like the big guy, the bigger body.
Okay.
They don't have that.
Sorry.
So, Keon Coleman, I guess, fits into that too. He's not my favorite idea. There's separation questions, whatever. Xavier Legette even fits into that. Like, he's big. And, you know, probably you don't have to draft him at 28, but I think they – I got to be careful because, like, I think that's what they should be shopping for, and I also think that that is really what they're shopping for, despite how they sound about it.
Yep. It lines up for you. I don't, like, philosophically think what I think they're thinking is bad. I'm not opposed to what I laid out there. It is still a skill position. It is still a fast, good athlete. Like, it is still somebody who should help them. My goodness, you're drafting somebody in the first round. You'd like to think so.
Yeah.
But I just, so I said it already. I don't need to repeat it. Because it's just a guess, right? It's just a guess. And then I do think it can be useful what all these predictions add up to. Right? Mock drafts and everything. And if the Bills were not interested in Mitchell, would everybody's mock draft basically have them picking him at 28? Like, I don't know. It's still, a lot of people are doing mock drafts that are not connected at all, but at least they're probably reading mock drafts from people who are, you know? Right, and then there are people who are, like Jeremiah and these other guys that, you know, are connected with teams, and they're trying to get it right. So it's interesting that a pick at pick 28 at such a popular position this year is so often exactly, it just aligns, it's pick 28, Adonai Mitchell, Texas. And it's like all the time, that's the result in these mock drafts. Three out of four, at least, I would say.
Yep.
And if the Bills didn't like him because of character stuff, taking plays off, anything like that gets sort of talked
someone
about.
Someone would know that by now.
They would not be mocked to them every single mock draft, I kind of think.
I
maybe that's right.
I'm not sure about that. I think a lot of it, I don't know. Everybody goes about those things differently, and so I'm not sure what everybody's objective is in doing it. And I think it can be very misleading because it is to me possible that he's a guy that the Bills just won't even touch. But do mock drafters know that? Like, you know, probably not. They're looking at they're doing what I just did, which is what don't I have. So, therefore, what do I need, and which guys fit that profile? Oh, he's one. Oh, he's right around there in the draft. Okay, I'm going to put him there. I don't know. It's possible to me that he could be a player that they wouldn't draft in the fifth round. Just like, we don't like him. That's it. They're like that, the Bills, I think.
I think most teams are.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
All right. Well, that is a great question, I think. Just what exactly are they looking for? And to Matt, who called in with that question, I guess we don't agree or know. So I don't know how useful this conversation was for you. But what does Brady want? Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online, northtownkia.com. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, get back to the Lindy Ruff news. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, coming up in about 20 minutes. This is WGR. For all the time we've spent talking about this draft, hardly any, if any at all, on the fact that there's a guy named Kool-Aid in the first round even. Yep. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Alabama.
How great is that?
Pretty good.
Kool-Aid. They still have that? Kool-Aid still a thing? I think it is. Probably is, right? Kool-Aid.
I have not.
Why would it not be?
Noticed, but yeah, like all the powdered, right? The iced tea, the big tins of ice. Man, we used to barrel through that stuff.
A lot more competition in the powdered drink.
I think so.
Field, I bet.
Yeah, I think the your sort of your athletic drinks have sort of like cornered those traditional powdered drink mixes. Maybe took some shelf space away.
Kool-Aid guy, though, one of the great mascots in drink history. Maybe the all time drink mascot.
It's a great Kool-Aid mascot. Period. Not even just
roller
drink.
Skating. Well, yeah. I don't disagree.
I mean,
sorry.
Smash through the wall. I mean, there's repairs involved, but I'm sure they had insurance.
Kool-Aid guy, or Kool-Aid man, or Kool-Aid guy. Kool-Aid man.
Kool-Aid guy.
Kool-Aid guy. There's a couple minutes on Kool-Aid. Wow. Tim is next. Hello, Tim. This you show. Thought that would never end.
Good luck, Tim.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks.
I just wanted to pick your brain real quick. I didn't immediately go to Ruff in my head as the guy that they were going to hire, but I guess it makes sense in the long run and, I guess, the short run. I mean, it's win-now mode, but I guess I wanted to ask, who do you guys think is going to benefit most from the hire, and who do you think is going to have the most negative impact based on Ruff coming in as coach? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay. Boy, that's a tough question to answer. At least, like, who's going to struggle under his style? because you just don't. It's hard to have a grasp of how these guys are wired and how they interact with one another and with their coaches without actually, you know, being there to see them do that, interact. I mean, what we see in public to me is one thing, and it's probably not a real representation of that relationship. So it's a tough question, like who will struggle with him. I'll tell you who I thought of when you asked who will flourish. Like, you know, it's a long time ago. I mean, Lindy, he's from Western Canada, Alberta. I feel like he is going to gravitate to Dylan Cousins. Cousins isn't from Alberta, but he's more rural than that. Like, he's like the workhorse from Whitehorse. I feel like Lindy, and I think his makeup is like, I think he's earnest. I think he wants to be the best he can be, and I think he's a worker bee, and he's a tough kid. And I just think Lindy will gravitate to a guy like that, and I would expect Cousins to just swim freely under Ruff.
I don't want to think about anybody like negatively from this, but Skinner might be close to sort of like a default answer there. You know, a guy that's really, really leans one way, offense versus defense. You know, old Lindy did not have an easy time with
no.
He talked about Vanek today. He wanted to make Vanek a two-way forward, like definitively. And Vanek's such a talented, creative offensive player that might have been somewhat at the root of their, you know, conflict. But, you know, Skinner is a finisher. But maybe, I'm not assuming that won't go
he
well.
He might really be someone to watch. I mean, it's a different coach now, but he lost his top line spot. And you know, maybe Ruff will have his own ideas, but I think Paterka earned his way into that spot. And if Skinner's a third line player on this team, I don't know about $9 million. Like, you're not getting anyone to take it, but Paul yesterday said, buy him out. And I don't know. I want to say I'll believe the Sabres are going to just eat money on a player contract, when I see them do it again. But maybe that's an outcome here. Maybe Lindy, if they are really end up being at odds, and you know, they might already have a sense of that, even though they've not worked with one another. Like Lindy, just watching the guy play and knowing his reputation, does he have enough juice to just go like get him off the team
before he's even coached? They're gonna have to make at least a spot open for somebody from Rochester that can play up top. Like that, we've been over that. Those guys are not playing on the fourth line for Lindy Ruff. Like you're gonna have. Although we'll have some 06, 07 comps. We'll be flying around. That team, they could score the Vanek line the President's Trophy year. He scored 43 goals, led the league in plus minus. Back to Vanek. Anyway, I'm excited. You're excited. A lot of fans are going to be happy about this. Some are not. That will be interesting. It will be interesting to talk about all offseason. Greg Wyshynski. Coming up next, ESPN, and we'll have more on the Sabres move here. Rehiring the return of Lindy Ruff with Greg. Coming up next, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.